Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Ukraine is reporting more fierce battles today to keep Mariupol from falling to Russian forces. The southeastern city is strategically important to Russia's invasion. Meanwhile, it's still uncertain what happened to a Russian warship that sank and was being towed to a Black Sea port. Russia says a fire broke out when ammunition exploded on board, but Ukraine says its troops hit the ship with a pair of missiles. Here's NPR's Greg Myrie.
Losing one vessel, even a flagship, isn't going to cripple the Russian Navy. But it does reinforce this larger narrative that the Ukrainians can still deliver powerful blows to Russia by being more nimble, more agile, more creative. And this is the second ship that Russia has lost off the southern coast of Ukraine. And the Pentagon said that several other ships, Russian ships in the Black Sea, pulled back further from the coast. So that certainly suggests that the Russian Navy is a bit jittery.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting. The U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem says it is closely monitoring events after violence today marred religious observances from Muslims, Jews, and Christians. Israeli forces stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Local medics say more than 150 Palestinians were injured. Israeli police say three of their officers were among those hurt. Sami Sokol has more from Jerusalem.
Israel police said the storming of the holy site came after masked men marched toward it, waving Palestinian and Hamas flags and hurled stones and fireworks. Palestinians said they came to protect the mosque during the holy month of Ramadan, following calls from Jewish extremists to come to the site and sacrifice lambs. Israel's public security minister said Israel is committed to freedom of worship for all, but police were forced to confront violent elements. Mansour Abbas, the Islamist legislator who is part of the Israeli governing coalition, said that the attack is a crossing of a red line. For NPR News, I'm Sami Sokol in Jerusalem.
Billionaire Elon Musk says Twitter shareholders should get the chance to vote on his $43 billion bid to buy the company. NPR's Shannon Bond reports the social media company's board says it is reviewing Musk's offer.
Elon Musk says he knows how to unlock Twitter's potential as a platform for free speech, which he says is, quote, extremely important to the future of civilization. And he says he's not looking to make money. The Tesla CEO, who is already Twitter's largest individual shareholder, says his $43 billion bid is his best and final offer to buy the entire company. He says Twitter should put that offer to its shareholders for a vote. But at least one big Twitter investor, Prince Awaleed bin Talal of Saudi Arabia, says Musk is undervaluing Twitter. He tweeted on Thursday that he will not support Musk's bid. Twitter says its board will decide in the best interest of all investors. Shannon Bond, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News. The Japanese bank Nomura has estimated that 373 million people across 45 Chinese cities are still living under some kind of lockdown due to COVID-19 measures. NPR's Emily Feng reports that's having a big impact on China's economy and people's health.
China has not wavered from its zero COVID policies, testing and locking down entire cities to stop outbreaks of COVID-19. Currently, Shanghai and the entire province of Jilin are under strict stay-at-home orders. Nomura has calculated that the entire spate of lockdowns affects cities accounting for 40% of China's entire economy. Such lockdown policies kept COVID cases extremely low in the last few years. But they've also shut down non-COVID-related health services, leading to a spike in excess deaths related to depression and cancer. One Shanghai public health expert estimated there have been about 2,000 excess deaths in Shanghai so far due to diabetes alone. Emily Fang, NPR News, Beijing.
The number 42 is popping up on baseball jerseys across the U.S. today to honor the legendary Jackie Robinson for shattering more than half a century of segregation in Major League Baseball. 75 years ago today, Robinson suited up for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He went on to lead the team to six National League pennants and a 1955 World Series championship. Beyond the field, the Hall of Famer was also a leader in the civil rights movement. Though Robinson is praised for breaking the color barrier in modern Major League Baseball, another African-American player, Moses Fleetwood, or Fleet Walker, is historically recognized as the first black man to play in the big leagues more than six decades earlier before the sport was segregated. You're listening to NPR News.